All right, welcome everybody back to The Crossroads. And today I have Janice Kaiser on, who wrote a book called The Way of the Lightbringer, which I found incredibly interesting for various reasons. I just want to start though asking you what path you follow. I got an impression, but I want to know from you.
For me, it's actually a path that has progressed over the years. I've been working on my own spirituality for well over 15 years. And it started out essentially as shamanism and energy work, as well as delving into classic esoteric concepts, as well as general philosophy, like Taoism and Buddhism were pretty big influences on me when I started out. So essentially what I would call traditions of mysticism, of ascendancy. Mm-hmm. And along that path, I came across a very special being, one that I call one of my absolute best friends these days. And that was Semyaza. He actually approached me for reasons that are very personal and that I'm not going to get into. But after getting to know him, I started working a lot more with engaging with spiritual beings of many different kinds. He introduced me to several of his associates along the way. So I had access to pathways of black magic and the left-hand path tradition from them over time. And my life really came to an impasse about 5 years ago, where I had tried everything available to me through my own knowledge, where I basically told him, hey, I want to learn magic, and you are one of my absolute best friends, so would you teach me magic? After that, my journey into becoming a sorcerer and magician began. And along that path, after having walked upon it for a few years, Azazel, who is also one of my best friends, and I mean that truly, friends, I interact with them on a daily, he asked me to write this book simply because I had so much experiences from my background, things that I had to overcome and figure out for myself, that he wanted me to compile that into a text that could be made available to others for their benefit. And that's where I started writing The Way of the Lightbringer. With time, though, it became apparent to me that it really synchronized so much with Lucifer and the mission of Lucifer. And it was actually Lucifuge Rofocal, like I wrote in the book, who introduced me to the notion that Lucifer wasn't just one singular being, but rather a collection working under a similar title. And he introduced me to the Council of the 13 Lucifers. After getting in touch with them, it became apparent that I have to include them in this book. I would call myself a Luciferian, but to work with them and present that to other people, I mean, I couldn't pass up on the opportunity of working with them in this way, as well as providing that for our larger audience. It literally became, how should I say, a bit of a magnum opus notion or a life purpose goal, because I've always been about helping other people. And if I can offer this to people, of course I'm going to take that opportunity.
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting, because I remember doing a working, it was specifically with Lucifer. And what he showed me was he kind of split himself. And I'm going to get back to himself and herself just now, but he kind of split himself and showed me in a format of a circle into four beings. So it was Lucifer, Azazel, Shemyaza, and Belial. as being Luciferian or Lucifer beings, Lightbringers. Yes. But the interesting part there is, I say him and himself. That's during that working, it was a masculine figure. But with my traditional witchcraft background, and the Luciferian type of energy that comes into that, that's kind of grown into a feminine being. And you know, Lucifer is a shapeshifter and everything else. So Lucifer as a multiple faceted being is, I totally get that.
For obvious reasons. It's like when I talk to other people, like my friends, about Lucifer, I always point out that Lucifer has a clear connection to me. Lucifer, as in how I, in the book, it's Lucifer Halel. According to biblical tradition also, Halel ben Shachar. And that, in that, he would represent himself as a masculine force. But Lightbringer denotes Venus, which also denotes the feminine. So in this aspect, Lucifer embodies both the feminine and masculine potentials of all beings to transcend and become who they themselves choose to be and how they themselves choose to manifest. It offers us the whole, shall we say, spectrum of potential, rather than it being just from the point of a masculine energy or entity alone. And I find that very intriguing. But like, it's very enlightening, truly.
Yeah. It's kind of reminds me a little bit of the concept of chaos, and chaos being all potentiality.
And
chaos would contain order and disorder, so it does contain that entire potentiality that we can get hold of and use to develop ourselves and everything else. The book itself is, as I mentioned to you in an email, it is very much focused on philosophical topics and comparisons of one concept versus another. And I think, a lot of people nowadays, they kind of go straight into magic and they read this book, a how-to book, how to cast a circle, how to do a spell, how to do this and how to do that. And at some point along the line, they're probably going to get into the philosophical questions, because, if they continue on that path, they're going to start venturing into the mysteries, and they have to be presented with those questions, and in order to create their worldview, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think a lot of people just go straight into that, the how-to thing, and they unfortunately sometimes stay there and they don't get out of it. So I think, a book that covers those philosophical questions is very important. And what I like is you kind of approach it from the idea of, this is what I think, but what do you think? So you're not trying to tell people. Yeah.
Well, that's the literal purpose of the book. Reading the book, it's a challenging book to read for a lot of people. I've presented it to some of my friends, and they all respond to it positively, but they all have all remarked that it's a difficult book to read. But that is precisely because it's meant to challenge the notions that someone has, but not for the reason of having someone necessarily change them, just define them more clearly for themselves. It's meant almost... When I wrote the book, I had this little idea in my head that, in lieu of having a spiritual guide and a teacher, I wanted this book to present the reader with the kinds of questions that a spiritual teacher and guide would do, and help someone determine their own ideas and notions by regarding these deeply spiritual and metaphysical concepts in a out of a philosophical standpoint. Because wisdom, our understanding of ourselves and the world, and how we choose to view it, view ourselves, the world, and everything as a whole, has the potential to truly change life and allows us to work with magic and beings in an entirely different frame of reference. If we stay in that frame of reference, it will stunt our growth spiritually. We can, like you said, it can become something very easy where we become complacent. You know, we summon a being that we have a connection to in order to help us with something in our lives, but we never think about the bigger picture. I, like you mentioned, Semyaza, Azazel, I think it was Belial and Lucifer as these and beings of enlightenment. They really want to help mankind transcend what we are used to thinking of ourselves as. They want to help us grow. I liken it to them inviting us into a much larger spiritual family. And I think that that is an incredibly beautiful and precious thing that we all ought to consider. And I want to really, with this book, it's me trying to make my mark and kind of invite the reader into that way of thinking, into that worldview, and to really establish one's own tradition, one's own path, and think about things differently.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's difficult to take concepts and kind of explore them from every single perspective. So the book is very, well, your own worldview is very, very much based in Luciferianism and the idea of we are supreme beings. And therefore, we just need to find that within ourselves. We already are. We just need to become aware of it. So, you know, from that perspective, it's fantastic. But as I said, at the same question, you're also challenging the reader to actually question it themselves and find out their own path. You're just presenting one possibility.
Exactly.
Which is great. Love it. Yeah. And the 13 Lucifers, I have to ask you about them. Because that what I find incredibly interesting about that is that most of them are Hindu and Buddhist concepts, actual words. But I mean, if we take Lucifer itself, Lucifer is a title, which has been personified into a being which we then can then interact with. So taking things like samsara, maya, and all of the other concepts and personifying them into beings is it's a fantastic approach. I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, the interesting thing is I haven't included that in the book based off of my interactions with them. These titles, if you look at it, you know, the traditional, to me, they are, when they present themselves to me, they present themselves as essentially divine, celestial, or angelic beings, for lack of a better term, similar to Semyaza, Azazel, and Belial, even though one could say that those are more of the infernal kind rather than the celestial kind. But as such, the interesting thing is that several of them, when I have delved into these concepts, into the specific words, they actually can have meanings, potentially at least, in biblical Hebrew, and denote things rather similar to what these concepts from Sanskrit, I believe it is, what their meaning actually is. There's a, what's the word in English? There's a parallel between them. And I find that really remarkable. The way they also, the reason why it's presented as such in the book is because they represent the manifestation of different things that affect all beings. It doesn't matter which universe, reality, plane, domain, whichever part of existence a being actually inhabits, these concepts will influence and have an effect upon every being. But what they do is that they don't just govern those forces directly, they make use of them to impart the process of enlightenment and self-deification upon all beings. And they have done so, from what I understand, for millennia. It's been their life calling, almost a chosen life calling. And they just have an innate understanding of all these different concepts. Like, I like to use the example of Lucifer's Shrapa, misery and affliction and death and pain, all of these things that are truly some of the most haunting and negative things that we experience in life. They use this as a driving force to seek something higher, something more, to realize more about ourselves and to really transcend that suffering. But in their role as a Lucifer, they don't just initiate you through the use and application of these circumstances. They actually offer you the chance to master those things, meaning through their teaching, you can learn how to not just transcend and essentially become impervious to suffering, even though you might experience it, but to be able to control that and also help others with the same energies, the same occurrences. And they are very interesting beings in that regard. This book, how I speak of them, how I've written it down in the book, is literally meant as an introduction and an invitation for the practitioner to individually make a connection and get to know them personally. As such, I have tried to only present them as a role rather than as describing them personally or going too far into their story or anything that could really, shall we say, paint a picture of them other than the role that they choose to play. And that itself is an open-ended question that you can engage in, where you can start asking questions to get to know them better as individual beings, or if you wish to, as I perceive them, as individual beings, or as masks of something else, of one singular Lucifer that presents themselves as several different aspects. To me, they are 13 individual beings, but they still represent a cohesive purpose and are representatives, in either case, of that same purpose, that Luciferian essence, if you will.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, actually, I think you've actually answered it now. If you were going to extend on the book in the manner of actually taking each one and examining, like samsara, and examining samsara itself, you know, its history, its meaning, its development, what it means to different cultures, for instance, or what it means to you, what it means to the 13 Lucifers, etc., etc. I was going to ask you why you didn't do that, and if you were going to extend on the book and include that. But I think you've answered it in the idea that you don't want to paint that picture for other people. You don't want to influence what other people see or experience before they experience it. I do, however, feel just a personal point I'd like to put across to you. You know, somebody who isn't familiar with any of these concepts from Buddhism or from Hinduism may see these names as just names and not understand where they came from. I guess it is up to the individual to go and explore that further, or it will be presented to them when they meet the being. I don't know, how do you feel about that? Just quite a lot I've put on you there. Yeah.
No, but it's a fair question. And I was thinking about explaining those things in the cultural and historical perspectives. I am by no means someone who can claim to be an expert on what these concepts have literally meant, as I'm not a Buddhist scholar, I'm not an Hindu scholar or so. I have my own views, but that's the point. It's my own views, and I feel like any real exploration undertaken by a person is where they look into these notions, into these concepts themselves, especially under the tutelage and guidance of the individual beings, because it's going to open their mind to something that exists far beyond. It's not a religious or long established way of seeing these concepts. It's more open. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't explored it further, partially because I can't claim myself to be an expert on these concepts. I can only really present them in the way that I know these beings. And as far as I can, I have through their own introductions, like a little summary of certain things that they represent, and then a literal channeled message where they speak of themselves and what they do and what their role is. I might actually do that, explore it a little bit further with their influence, of course. But what I will do then is I will present that on my personal website. On that website, I have the ability of making blog posts specifically for this reason. And I might actually delve a little bit more into those aspects on the blog, so people can actually read up there and follow up when I get to writing those things.
Okay, I'll definitely leave all your links in the description below for everybody. Because what I was actually thinking was, if you do that, if you go ahead and continue that process, it might be just a good idea to give it from the perspective of, this is the definition as presented by other people. This is my interpretation of it. Because what I'm finding a lot of people are wanting and probably needing nowadays is more interaction with people who are bringing personal gnosis across. Because we've read all the books. All we're doing, you know, a lot of the time, and we've been saying this for many, many years now, is that a lot of the books are just repeating what's already been said and written. What we need now, especially in terms of working with spirits themselves, demons and gods and goddesses, etc., is more of a personal gnosis, but, you know, presented as personal gnosis, so everybody knows what it is. It's not a worldwide or universal fact. Can't be any. But the more people that have the same personal gnosis and can compare notes and everything else, then you start building something strong and powerful. I think it's very important from that perspective anyway.
Yes, I agree. And another notion I add, personal gnosis is something that I deeply respect. When other people tell me about their personal gnosis, I'm always interested to listen, because it allows me, in a sense, to explore these concepts, these relationships, and the multifaceted potential of beings and how they manifest through someone else's experience. It might not be my relationship or my experience, but at least I get to, it breaks the mold of how I would otherwise perhaps be trapped into thinking about a being. You know, we have this tendency of formulating a view of someone and then saying that that's all that they are. That's absolutely not true. It's what they are with me. But if I can listen to other people, I can take in more and see beyond my own limited scope of experience and observations, perception. So I absolutely agree with you on that. Personal gnosis is a big part, especially in today's exploration of the occult.
Yeah, that's a bit like the question I often get is, you know, why does this spirit act this way with me and it acts some other way with somebody else? Well, that's because your individual beings, you know, they're going to have a different reaction. Just like some people like me and other people don't. I'm still the same person.
Exactly. It's like personal chemistry exists even on the spiritual plane. I would even say that it's more important there, because intentions and energies and how they interact with one another, that's a big deal. That's all you really got when you're directly energetically interacting with someone. like a spiritual being to another spiritual being. It's everything there is. So it becomes even more pronounced than it would be in our just physical day-to-day interactions with other people, I think.
My next question, I think you did answer it a bit earlier, but I'd like to get into it a little bit more. Some of them, such as Lucifer Maya and Lucifer Samsara, Maya and Samsara, those are concepts that, you know, within Buddhism, they are trying to release themselves from.
Yeah.
Why did you, I suppose you didn't really bring them in, they came in themselves, but why are they present in the particular pantheon or system that you're presenting? If, you know, within that culture, they're trying to release themselves from it, but this seems like we're trying to immerse ourselves into it. I'd like your answer on that. Yeah.
My perspective on that is because understanding the illusions of life, if we take Lucifer Maya, the illusion of the world, within that, we realize something about our consciousness, that our consciousness can separate us from the reality or the truth of what existence is. And that is a manifestation of our power, a power that we hold over our own microcosm. And Lucifer Maya, as such, is presented as someone who can trick and deceive, but also overcome those trickeries and deceptions. But at the core of it, it is about the mastery of your own inner world, which can be so far removed from the external world, the existence that we all share, that it can literally become like an illusion or delusion, like that of a madman. So it's a principle that they represent where you can master your inner world to the point where illusions don't matter, where truth even doesn't matter, because it's all your perspective. It's all how you relate to the world. And that's part of what they actually introduce, because it's not just about looking at the world outside of you. It's about mastering your inner world, because in your inner world, there you find your dreams, you find your aspirations, your hopes, the things that you can share uniquely with the world to change the external world. Likewise, Lucifer Samsara, which denotes, you know, the physical embodiment and incarnation, and the physical world with all of its, shall we say, temptations and necessities and requirements. It's about mastering that aspect as well. Like Lucifer Samsara, as I understand it, is someone who is very closely aligned with the practice of black magic, essentially the power to affect and change the physical world around us. That it is not just something that exists there that we have to literally distance ourselves from. No, we are here and we can choose to change the physical world in its different aspects and regards through action, through magic, through spiritual work, just through who we are and how we choose to express ourselves in this world, as well as something that I allude to in the book, which is the notion of our own incarnation, our own physical being, that we can choose to incarnate several times in a singular life. I've had that experience myself long before I started working with them, through experiences, classically what would be called ego death in modern terms, but essentially the loss of sense of self, and then the process of rebuilding that self into what you choose it to be. And both of those things are very closely related to, and something that Lucifer Samsara can help you with. So it's not the notion that we have to only transcend our existence. It's about becoming more of ourselves as we're already here as a process of maturation. And they both offer very deep insights into, like Lucifer Maya, the power and how, essentially how vast our own inner world can be and how it can separate us or align us even more with the world we are in. While Lucifer Samsara deals with the external world more and how we manifest ourselves in it. And working with them both, after a while, there is no difference between the internal world, the microcosm, and the macrocosm. And your ability to affect both, to truly work and process, not just yourself, but your entire state of being and existence, becomes one. And that is one of the points that I have found in working with the 13 Lucifers, that it's not so much about fleeing from the physical world. This isn't our prison. It's something that we turn into a prison for ourselves, that we then have to try to escape from. But through their teaching, it actually becomes our playground, a chance for us to test things out as a process of maturity, like children. Children learn when they're young by playing. And then over time, once they figure things out, they get to know and start to realize what they actually want to do and be in life. It's the same thing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. It actually falls very much into the ideas of traditional witchcraft. You know, there's in a lot of cultures, there's this idea that we have to, as you said, flee from things. We have to remove ourselves from them because they're bad for us. You know, like the pain and suffering, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the concept of trying to remove ourselves from the physical in order to become more spiritual. Whereas, you know, the idea that I have in traditional witchcraft kind of envelops is that it's all one big thing and we have to immerse ourselves and experience all of it, the physical, the spiritual, everything. And you can't overcome something if you don't understand it. So, literally, you know, as you said, you know, Maya and Samsara, if you don't understand them, you can't overcome them. So trying to run away from something you don't understand, it's just going to keep chasing you.
literally, yes.
Yeah, you got to immerse yourself in it and then, you know, rise above it type of thing. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually don't have much personal experience with, like, traditional or modern witchcraft specifically. But it's a really interesting thing that you point out there, because that's like in perfect alignment with what the Lucifers have shown me and the importance of it. It's don't flee. Rule.
Well, I actually think it's probably the main understanding of these concepts within Buddhism and Hinduism. The difficulty is that what a lot of people do is they kind of read the surface stuff and they understand it from the surface perspective. It's like, you know, the whole concept within Buddhism that we have to become enlightened, and through this process of enlightenment, we remove ourselves from the physical. This is the idea that people have, but the whole concept actually is that we have to immerse ourselves in the community, in the physical. We've removed ourselves, we've gone through the whole process, we've learned, we've understood things. Now we have to put ourselves back in the fray, into the community, in amongst the people in order to help them. And I think people forget that part. So, you know, it is about enveloping the physical, the spiritual, and the whole, everything, you know, everything within creation, microcosm, macrocosm, and everything else. But I think people just kind of get to the surface stuff, and that's where they continue with the understanding, and they don't really go much deeper, which is a pity, really.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, life seems overwhelming. If we think about it, for most of our human history, we've had to endure extremely tough things. Our ancestors, they had lives that we can scarcely imagine. So it's not strange if we have this cultural inheritance based off of all that, of escapism, We want to try to get out of these tough circumstances. But just like you said, the real heroes, if you will, of history, those who have really made the big changes, even in Buddhism, you can be a being that has achieved enlightenment and left the physical world, as some representations would say. But the truly great ones, why the Buddhas are exceptional, or the Bodhisattvas, is because they choose to remain to help others attain enlightenment. So they, just like you said, they have reached this pinnacle of understanding, but they have chosen to remain to aid others. And I think not just out of that perspective, even though it alludes to something that is truly important to me personally, but it also misses a point, which is that this world doesn't have to be a bad place. Acceptance of it as a bad place is what allows it to be a tough place. But all of our ancestors collectively worked to try their best to make the world a better place. And thanks to that, human society has progressed a lot in a lot of different fields, in a lot of different ways. If we are willing to take that similar kind of approach, but to enlightenment philosophy, to spirituality, we can start changing the world in ways I don't even think we fully understand yet. And that can just continually evolve. And essentially, I want to help people realize that, if I can, and provide a little bit of means for someone to start that process at the very least.
Yeah, start to question the big questions. I forgot to ask you. I keep forgetting to ask everybody. Have you got a physical copy of your book that you can?
Oh yes, show everybody? I do. I actually had this one printed as a first draft. So this is what it looks like. Way of the Lightbringer in the first copy. Now, the print copy that is made available through print on demand on Amazon is a little bit different. I have changed basically the order of the chapters because I found them to be better in the current version that is is available. But I made a small printing for myself just to have a physical copy and for a few select friends that I wanted to have a copy of it. But anyone can get their physical copy through print on demand on Amazon. So
yeah, I'll put that link in as well. I don't want to discuss your entire, I want people to go buy the book and read it themselves. So I think we're giving them a great idea of what it's about and your philosophies and your own worldview, which is great. I love it. It fits in quite nicely with mine, actually. So,
Just based off of what you told me about witchcraft and that perspective. I mean, it's like in Swedish we tend to say, "It fits the hand like a glove."
Oh yes, yeah.
So it's literally that well aligned, I would say.
Yeah. I think all of these. I think a lot of these traditions and paths, they you get fuzzy lines. They all overlap somewhere, because at some point something developed out of another thing, and a chunk got taken out of it, and got built on later on. So all fuzzy lines and concepts that overlap. So I think.
Definitely, I think wisdom may sound differently because we explain it differently, but it all alludes to similar principles, ageless principles that apply to essentially all of us, at least when we're still here as physical human beings, no matter what your beliefs are about eternity and afterlife and so on. But while we're still here, there are similar things that apply to all of us, and wisdom is one of them. So any real path or tradition that has attained that through diligent work of its practitioners over time will, once you get to the core of it, sound rather similar to another that has achieved the same thing.
Yeah. Influences.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming onto the show with me and for sending me your book out of the blue. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched your channel, and I have to say that you're one of the few people who present your how you speak about the different, for example, the series on the Goetic beings or the kings, the spirits. I find that to be remarkably wonderful because you present a perspective that doesn't fall into this classical dichotomy of, oh, black magician, the
The
satanic, yes, but
edgelords.
rather something where you introduce them as deities like any other deity. They're essentially powerful spiritual beings that you don't have to color in this palette, if you will, of the satanic. I understand the reason why people do that on a personal note, but you don't have to. And I think it's really, you speak calmly and sincerely and genuinely about things. And I absolutely love that. That's why I reached out to you specifically because of how you present these subjects. I felt that, hey, maybe you could find my book interesting. And more importantly, you're someone I would definitely like to talk to.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. Yeah.
Yeah,
All
I am
right.
too.
Okay. All right. That brings us to the end of today, I think. And as I said, all the links will be in the description below. Follow them to Janice's website, to Amazon, etc., etc., etc. And thank you for watching, everybody for watching, and thank you, Janice, for being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to both you, Lee, and everyone who watches this. And if you want to pick a copy, you'll be supporting me. Hopefully it will help you. I cannot promise anything, as you might understand, but I appreciate that you take the time a lot. Thank you, Lee, and thank you all who watch.
Okay. Cheerio. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.